Welcome back to A Year of War and Peace, the podcast where we go from War and Peace Zero to War and Peace Hero in 1 year flat. We are up to Book 2, Chapter 11 of Leo Tolstoy's War and Peace, and I'm going to dive right in. Next day, he woke late. Recalling his recent impressions, the first thought that came into his mind was that today he had to be presented to the Emperor Francis. He remembered the Minister of War, the polite Austrian adjutant, Bilibin, and last night's conversation. Having dressed for his attendance at court in full parade uniform, which he had not worn for a long time, he went into Bilibin's study, fresh, animated, and handsome, with his hand bandaged. In the study were four gentlemen of the diplomatic corps, with Prince Ippolit Karagin, who was a secretary to the embassy. Bolkonski was already acquainted. Bilibin introduced him to the others. The gentlemen assembled at Bilibin's were young, wealthy, gay society men, who here, as in Vienna, formed a special set which Bilibin, their leader, called Les Notres. This set, consisting almost exclusively of diplomats, evidently had its own interests which had nothing to do with war or politics, but related to high society, to certain women, and to the official side of the service. These gentlemen received Prince Andrew as one of themselves, an honour they did not extend to many. From politeness and to start conversation, they asked him a few questions about the army and the battle, and then the talk went off into merry jests and gossip. "But the best of it was," said one, telling of the misfortune of a fellow diplomat, "that the Chancellor told him flatly that his appointment to London was a promotion, and that he was so to regard it. Can you fancy the figure he cut? But the worst of it, gentlemen, I am giving Karagin away to you, is that that man suffers, and this Don Juan, wicked fellow, is taking advantage of it." Prince Ippolit was lolling in a lounge chair with his legs over its arm. He began to laugh. "Tell me about that," he said. "Oh, you Don Juan, you serpent," cried several voices. "You, Bolkonski, don't know," said Bilibin, turning to Prince Andrew, "that all the atrocities of the French army, I nearly said of the Russian army, are nothing compared to what this man has been doing among the women. Le femme est la campagne de l'homme," announced Prince Ippolit, and began looking through a lorgnette at his elevated legs. That translates to, "woman is man's companion." Bilibin and the rest of ours burst out laughing in Ippolit's face, and Prince Andrew saw that Ippolit, of whom he had to admit he had almost been jealous on his wife's account, was the butt of this set. "Oh, I must give you a treat," Bilibin whispered to Bolkonski. "Karagin is exquisite when he discusses politics. You should see his gravity." He sat down beside Ippolit and, wrinkling his forehead, began talking to him about politics. Prince Andrew and the others gathered round these two. "The Berlin cabinet cannot express a feeling of alliance," began Ippolit, gazing round with importance at the others, "without expressing, as in its last note, you understand. Besides, unless His Majesty and the Emperor derogates from the principle of our alliance..." "Wait, I have not finished," he said to Prince Andrew, seizing him by the arm. "I believe that intervention will be stronger than non-intervention, and..." He paused. "Finally, one cannot impute the non-receipt of our despatch on November 18. That is how it will end." And he released Bolkonski's arm to indicate that he had now quite finished. "Demosthenes, I know thee by the pebble thou secretest in thy golden mouth," said Bilibin, and the mop of hair on his head moved with satisfaction. Everybody laughed, and Ippolit louder than anyone. He was evidently distressed and breathed painfully, but could not restrain the wild laughter that convulsed his usually impassive features. "Well now, gentlemen," said Bilibin, "Bolkonski is my guest in this house and in Brunn itself. I want to entertain him as far as I can, with all the pleasures of life here. If we were in Vienna, it would be easy, but here, in this wretched Moravian hole, it is more difficult, and I beg you all to help me. Brunn's attractions must be shown him. You can undertake the theatre, I, society, and you, Ippolit, of course, the women. "We must let him see Amelia. She's exquisite," said one of ours, kissing his fingertips. "In general, we must turn this bloodthirsty soldier to more humane interests," said Bilibin. "I shall scarcely be able to avail myself of your hospitality, gentlemen. It is already time for me to go," replied Prince Andrew, looking at his watch.
"Where to?"
"To the Emperor."
"Oh, oh, oh.
Well, au revoir, Bolkonski, au revoir, Prince. Come back early for dinner," cried several voices. "We'll take you in hand." "When speaking to the Emperor, try as far as you can to praise the way that provisions are supplied and the route indicated," said Bilibin, accompanying him to the hall.
"I should like to speak well of them, but as far as I know the facts, I can't," replied Bolkonski, smiling.
"Well, talk as much as you can, anyway. He has a passion for giving audiences, but he does not like talking himself and can't do it, as you will see."
All right, there we have it. Very short chapter. And if I'm honest, that might be a good thing today because my head is not completely in the game. I mean, I feel pretty good all things considered, but I don't know how to explain. You know when you don't have headspace, like your head's too busy? It's a bit of that kind of feeling. It's a bit of a restless feeling. But hey, I got some nice notes, a couple of nice comments, and I'll read them to you. "Who Was Once Delight said," and this is really weird because I feel like I know this person, Who Was Once Delight, just because I've read so many of their comments. So it was really nice to get a note from them. They said, "Shit, friend. I am sorry about the events behind the personal aside. I don't even think that respect to you for keeping up with the project is the right response. I think it is pretty interesting that the last month, plus a few days, has brought us to a place where, even though I don't actually know you, I care about what happens to you. Thanks for being part of my daily human interaction in a way that wouldn't have been possible until the very most recent time in history. I hope things look up soon." I mean, wow, thank you so much. Like, it's so kind of you. I especially like the part at the end about how this interaction wouldn't have been possible until the very most recent time in history. Like, if you look at the time since broadcasting by any means, but by podcast especially, has been possible, it's minute in the, it's indetectable in the scale of time so far. And yet here we are amongst this thing. When you think too much about the magnitude of all of history, you know, it can spin you out. There's a good book by, what's his name? It's called A Short History of Nearly Everything. It's by Bill Bryson. It's a bit like one of those Stephen Hawking books, which explains all about like the universe and all of scientific discoveries. But Bill Bryson is like a comedy writer, so it's very, very readable. If you feel like getting your head spun out about the world, or not even the world, the universe, that's a really good book, very entertaining. Reddit user Lowdown said, "Thank you so much for your dedication to our shared goal of completing War and Peace. I appreciate the asides, commentaries, and musing on your days. I enjoy hearing about the heat, the difference you're making in kids' lives, and even the office construction. All this reminds me that even 7,500 miles away, we are all in this together." Thank you very much, Lowdown. I do really appreciate the kind words. You know, I want to keep this podcast 99% War and Peace and the community around War and Peace, but I'll pepper in what's going down with me because I suppose I'm part of this too. I don't know if that's the right approach, but it just feels weird to talk to you guys every single day without, talking about what I'm up to occasionally. So I'm glad to read these notes and hear that people kind of, you know, enjoy the bits where I talk about Launchpad and what's going on with me, that kind of thing. Anyway, let's have a look at this chapter, shall we? Well, it wasn't much of a chapter. Prince Andrei wakes up in the morning and he's pretty on it. He's pretty focused. He's got this meeting with the Emperor. That's his focus for the day. And he doesn't allow this meeting with Ippolit and Bilibin and these other kind of acquaintances to distract him. Although they do throw some distractions at him. Let's go to the theatre. Let's go find some girls. Let's go get drunk. And he politely declines the offer and goes about his duty. And that was it. It was a short chapter. Reddit user CobbyX said, "This was kind of a non-chapter, after the last one where we learned that Napoleon has taken Vienna. This is just Prince Andrei waking up and running into the same guys and saying he's off to see the Emperor. And they're all like, whoa." Puffle Huffy replied saying, "I did think it was weird that Ippolit was honest about womanizing. Isn't he supposed to be marrying Andrei's sister?" Tradana corrected Puffle Huffy by saying, "I believe that's Ippolit's brother, Anatole. Ippolit is the one who was hitting on Andrei's wife after Anna Pavlovna's party at the beginning." Puffle Huffy said, "Oh yeah, thanks." Joyce Haddo said, "Ippolit seems to be what I would call a twit." To which 100157 said, "I always think of Hugh Laurie as Prince George from Blackadder 3 when I picture Ippolit." Ippolit seems, how do we describe him? Happy-go-lucky, and it's just been revealed that he's a bit of a womanizer, although we had hints about that early on. I think he'll be an interesting character to keep an eye on. And that's really it from this chapter. We got to see Prince Andrei's laser focus, which was kind of cool. But that's about as far as this chapter will take us. I might defer again to Brian E. Denton's Medium page. You can find that at medium.com/@Brian E. Denton. I'll leave a link in the description for this episode. At the end of every blog post, and there's a blog post for every single chapter of War and Peace, Brian has a daily meditation. And it's a meditation usually from the Stoics or from some different philosophers, and it's one that relates back to this chapter of War and Peace. I really like today's one, so I might read the meditation to you. It was from Marcus Aurelius, and it's got to do with the way that Prince Andrei wakes up on this particular morning and thinks about his day ahead. The meditation goes like this: "At daybreak, when loath to rise, have this thought ready in thy mind: I am rising for a man's work. Am I then still peevish that I am going to do that for which I was born and for the sake of which I came into the world? Or was I made for this, that I should nuzzle under the bedclothes and keep myself warm? But this is pleasanter. Hast thou been made then for pleasure? In a word, I ask thee to be acted upon or to act. Consider each tiny plant, each little bird, the ant, the spider, the bee, how they go about their own work and do each his part for the building up of an orderly universe. Dost thou then refuse to do the work of a man? Dost thou not hasten to do what nature bids thee? A little bit of food for thought. Get up, get about it." I think that meshed with me particularly today, and I made this weird little video which I'm thinking of putting on the Launchpad YouTube channel, but it's a bit strange. I've got it as like private video. I might link it to you guys, and you can tell me if you think I should release it publicly. If that meditation gelled with you, jump through to the link in the description for a little video I've named "Get Up, Buddy." All right, that's it for this one. Short and sweet. Thanks very much for joining me, and I will see you tomorrow.